Hello, and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. Again, it's been a while. I want to try to record a couple this holiday weekend just so I could get caught up. But I haven't found the time. I used to record these a lot when my wife would go to yoga. Because of COVID, she's not going to yoga, so I haven't been doing them lately. I thought I'd kick this one off with some recent purchases. I did go back to the my LCS somewhat. I picked he had a thing where if you were a pull customer and had at least 11 books, you'd get 25% off, and you would get 50% off on the back issues, and that's really what I was going after, so I could fill in a lot of holes on a bunch of different mini series and series that I missed over the years, particularly Marvel or Image. Because at DC, I pretty much have a lot, and if I run across something, I'll definitely get it. But I've been on a Spawn kick lately, and a Savage Dragon kick, like just an Image kick in general. But something that had to do with like the founding fathers of Image, and been working on completing stuff there, like Youngblood. I've been doing that, and Falling Leifeld's Maximum Press, Awesome Press, Arcade, completing everything that I can that's in those publications, and then doing the same thing with McFarlane and Larsen, and even Wetworks, been looking at Portasio and Silvestri and just getting as much as I can. And they had a couple issues of Spawn Godslayer at the shop. And I picked up those. Those ones haven't really gone up in value much, but there's like two volumes. There's like a deluxe formatted one, and then there's a regular series. And I picked up the deluxe formatted one, and then a couple issues of like 4 issues of Godslayer. I still got a lot of holes to fill in that because that's a series that I don't have. And then I was working on Ariana, the Heart of the Spider. I have her first appearance in what is it? Amazing Fantasy Volume 2, maybe it's Volume 3. But I never went ahead and got her own series. And I recently picked up number one for like $1.50, and it had gotten hot because of rumors again of theatrical potential releases of characters, and then I just decided to get the rest of the series. So I think there's 2 issues I still need to fill, but I have 1 through 12. There was a one shot called Archangel that I just ran into. You can see these are all when I don't have my lists with me, like what I'm missing, like in a certain series, like the next list I completed was Cable. I still have some Cable holes, but I wiped them out of every Cable that he had. And then I'd worked on Conan, and now I was going to go to like Web of Spider-Man. And I started to get a bunch of the web at the end because I knew I didn't have my list with me, and I knew I didn't have like the tail end of the series. So I picked those up, but then I didn't have my list, and I didn't want to buy any. But sometimes when I go to the shop and I look for things that I know I don't have, and these two I may have this. This is a an offshoot of Roos from CrossGen, and I'll have to double check my database. And if I have one, I know I don't have both covers, but there is a there's two covers for Achard's Agents. So I picked up both of those. And then I ran across a character Brian Haberlin created called Aria, and I never got those, and I picked up 1 through 4 of that. And it's interesting because some of the covers look a lot like the Marked cover. We got Aria Black and Noir. I picked up 2 issues of that. And then there was an Aria Angela crossover. There was two issues of that I picked up, and one of the covers, number two, had two covers, and I just picked them both up. And that Angela is Neil Gaiman's creation that appeared in Spawn, so she teamed up with Arya, and I picked those up. I also got a bunch of Kickstarters in the mail. Eerie, which is spelled not like Eerie, like the magazine that Creepy and Eerie used to put out, but it's spelled EYRIE. That one came really fast. I've been picking up a lot of Cover Bs from them. I got another Savage Eve from Counterpoint Comics. That is a Murat Michaels issue that started on Kickstarter, but I never got a part of until late. I got an issue of Ninja and Nuns. This is a Kickstarter. Mostly, I got it because of Bob Franz. He's a friend of mine, and this is coming off of Metal Shark Bro, sort of as a tie-in. These characters have appeared in, but it's coming to Scout Comics as well. It was solicited in the last preview, so if you didn't pick it up, you can pick it up there. Picked up the last Savage Dragon I was missing during a geek brunch. Found out we were doing an audit of Savage Dragon, and I found out I was missing 212. And then I started to go back and realize I was missing a lot of alternate covers, and they're expensive. Going back to Savage Dragon, you'll find out the issues are expensive because they're rare. There's not a lot of them out there, and there are a lot of fin addicts. A matter of fact, we started a new segment on Geek Brunch called Fin Addicts because me and Bill are hardcore Eric Larson fans, and we're going to be covering a lot of Savage Dragon. So we just made a segment called Fin Addicts, and I forgot what I was going with that, but I picked up Savage Dragon alternate cover mini comic. 190. So I knew this comic existed. I had 190. Bill, when we went to Heroes Con, I think it's like 3 years ago. I think it was 3 years ago. Maybe it was 4 years ago. And Eric Larson was there, and Bill and I talked to Eric Larson, and he got his mini comic signed. And Eric Larson was like, "I don't see too many of these get, to sign." And ever since then, I wanted one because he said that was one of a big mistakes he made. Like, it was an experiment he thought he could do. He was getting really into Golden Age books when he was printing out Next Issue. I think it was Next Issue Comics, which was like Golden Age format, magazine style, like Future Comics. And he would do some stuff like that. And he also found out that there were Golden Age mini comics, and he got interested in that, and that spun off Eric to go and do this one. And lately, there have been a lot of Cover Bs showing up. This week, another one just came out, and then there was the Biden and Harris cover. There's supposed to be a second print of that, which I want to pick up. I also picked up the Barack Obama cover. I never got. That was an alternate cover. I had the original cover, but not the Barack Obama one. But that was a fourth print, and that was the only one that was like within 20. Everything else is like $100, all the other prints. And mostly because most of them are CGC slabbed. So yeah, it's I don't know if I'll ever get a second print or a third print for that matter. But yeah, I wish I would have gotten it. So now I'm making sure that I get. Oh my goodness, Barb's gonna kill me. Come on here, Harley. She got grass all over. Carly, come here. Come on, girl. Harley. Harley. Sorry you have to listen to this, but she's got dry grass all over her, and she brings it into the house, and that's a mess. because she goes and rolls in the grass, and the grass is starting to die. And I can't really water it. I guess I could if I wasn't lazy, but I'm a sprinkler waterer guy. And I forgot where I was. But anyway, the Barack Obama covers are expensive. There's a lot of cover Bs that are real expensive, and I would like to get them. And Spawn is another series that I want to audit. There's one closet. There's two closets of Spawn I need to get into. One closet needs to be audited entirely on the middle and the left side. The right side is audited because it was all DC. So I know like everything I have in DC. And then there's a third closet that I have a very small set of comics in there, and I've audited all the DC. But I still have to go and audit all the Marvel and I think Independence. And I started the Independence, but usually what happens is I get on a roll and I do like two or three boxes, and it takes me a while. And they're not even inventoried in my database, so I have to get them into my database and then bag and board them. And then make sure I have enough boxes because when you bag and board them, if you have a full box of unbagged and boarded comics and then you bag and board them, you need like 1.5 boxes of short boxes. But so then you have to go get a, I have to go to the storage unit and get an empty box or build a box. But anyway, been trying to get a lot of cover Bs, so I've been keeping an eye on the 212. I saw for an outrageous price of $80, and I wasn't gonna buy it for that. But I waited. I was patient on eBay for like 3 or 4 weeks, and then one showed up, and then I just grabbed it. I can't remember what I got it for, but it was over 10. Maybe it was 20. I don't remember. It definitely was 20, with the taxes. Now, that's one thing that sucks about eBay is you add in all the taxes and then the shipping, and it gets pretty high. But yeah, I've been getting a lot of comics lately. I got a Mark Texaria book. I forget what it was called, but it was only 2 issues. I'm finding just a bunch of just going through the back issue stuff, and I always buy stuff and from the back issues take advantage of my 50% off discount. And he was nice enough for LCS Day to pull the gold comics for me. So Boom had a bunch of gold comics. They had one for Power Rangers I don't even get. Mighty Morphin, which I don't get. It was gold. Dune, which I do get. An issue two was gold plated for Comic Book Day. Lumberjanes was there was an Image Invincible LCS version of one. There was a Monstrous one that was LCS version. There was a Spawn. There were three covers. One was a local comic book shop day. One was a cover C, and one was a Virgin cover. What's interesting about that is it has Spawn like really, really small, and then on the right side it has every creator that has worked on Spawn minus Neil Gaiman. I guess they still not on speaking terms because of all that court case with Angela, but anyway, I got those. I got a. There was a new Savage Dragon cover B this week. I picked that up. I signed up for Power Pack there because I wasn't originally gonna get it, but I decided, you know, it'd be one of my 11 books. That's only a mini series. There was a Peach Momoko X-Men X Sword of X. Book that was exclusive to local comic book shop day, which I picked up. There was a Green Eggs and Ham Ice Cream Man, I think it was issue 20 or 22, with the Green Eggs and Ham cover. I picked that up. So I picked up a lot of what was offered as far as exclusives for the local comic book shop day, and they all seemed pretty interesting. So I've been I Yeah, I've been on this like Savage Dragon kick, even to the point where I start on the Peacock app, which is the NBC app. They have a Savage Dragon cartoon, and I even brought that up today and started watching. I watched the first episode, the first two episodes. The first episode was where he was fighting Overlord. Leech was on there, not to be confused with the leeches that come from Horde's body, because Horde is in issue episode two, fighting with Alex and Savage Dragon, and Barbaric is in issue episode two. So there's a lot of familiar faces in the cartoon. The animation style, it's not bad. It's more like I would have loved it to be more like a Thundar the Barbarian look, like a Jack Kirby look to it, to make it a little more unique. But instead, they went with more like an image look to the drawing, especially Savage Dragon. They had Arachnid in it, and Horde and Overlord, and just a bunch of different characters, which is nice to see. The Savage Dragon kick just continues, and I'm still waiting for a second print of the Savage Dragon Harris and Biden cover. And there's also going to be a third print of the Peanuts version of the dragon. And all that really changes is it changed to purple. But hopefully he ordered me a copy of that, so I'll have all of those. And I'm working on the spawns, and I need to get into that closet just to make sure I know, but I should have a full set of spawn, and then I have to work on the side things. I know I've getting close on Salmon Twitch, because there's a couple volumes of that, like three. And then there's a Spawn, Curse of Spawn. I think I finished that one. There's Hellspawn. I think I'm close on that one, if not complete. There's this God Slayer. And then there's a couple of them. There's an animated one, which I don't think I have. There's the movie Spawn. There's the Spawn Bible. There's so many Spawn things. There's Spawn Batman. I have that. So I'll be looking. And then plus he did a lot of like other projects like Kiss, and I've been looking to complete Kiss Psycho Circus and stuff like that. So yeah, I'm working on a lot of different stuff. On the toy front, I did find some McFarlane toys. I'm very select with those. I tend to go towards the characters that are in the traditional uniform and not over exaggerated like Elseworld characters that he creates. I picked up the Flash. I picked up Superman the Infected from the Infected series. That one looked too cool. There was a Wonder Woman movie edition, which I like. I'll pick up any Wonder Woman. I'm obsessed with Wonder Woman. And then there was a Cyborg animated series McFarlane toy that I liked. Booyah! Yeah. So I picked those up. And if I go to Target this weekend, I might pick up Nightwing. They have quite a few of those at Target. Nightwing doesn't seem to sell very well for whatever reason, but it'd be nice to have a Nightwing. And let me see, what else have I been getting? I think that's about it, other than a bunch of Kickstarters. I got the Mars Attack Savage Dragon series from Tops. That actually came in. Let's see, what else? I think I could probably go to my Twitter profile. Oh, there it was already there, and I passed it. I got a one from the UK, which I didn't even remember ordering, but it's called Vietnam Zombie Holocaust. That came in yesterday. I've been reading Star Wars. The first Marvel, not the first Marvel series, the second Marvel series when they came back on the iPad, because I've for some reason I go to sleep early, like 9 or 10, and then Barb goes to bed really late, like 2 or 3, and when she goes to bed, I get up and I can't go back to sleep, so I will often read on the iPad, which is probably not good because the light stimulates your brain and your eye activity, so you it doesn't help to try to go back to sleep, but that's what I do is I try to read. And I got into the Star Wars, and then I've been reading some Wonder Woman pre-crisis, and it actually hit the crisis now, which was really interesting because it really just showed it was just I forgot how like they went about their own business and storytelling up till Crisis, and but they did the editors had them throw in like a red sky, red skies at night. The fix. There's a little fix there for you. Oh, and I did pick up a cover B of Wonder Woman 267. I picked up Future State, the free comic book day because it's the first appearance of the new Wonder Woman on the cover. But there's no comic material in here. There is a nice segment about a lot of the creators that came to do the what is her name? Joelle Jones draws Yara Flor, and Yara Flor is going to have her own CW show, which is very interesting that they would take a Future State version of. But I picked that up. It is one of those things like a Malibu Sun or some of those things that Megaton issues or that just had ads that became really popular because it's like the first appearance of Spawn or first appearance of Savage Dragon in the form of an ad. Like I have the first appearance of Youngblood in the form of an ad. It's just a 2-page ad spread, and they're pretty expensive, but that's what this Future State could be if any of these characters in Future State kick off. That this could be a first appearance, even though they're not really in comic book form. And there's three versions of this, and I just got the free comic book day. There's a local comic book day version. And then there's a, I forget what the third version is. There's one that, a paying version. And then I picked up cover B and C of the other history of the DC Universe. Another thing that came in was Kinetic Identities, number one. This was a series that Bill and I tried or picked up at a Heroes Con 1 year, no, C2E2, and I liked it. I liked it a lot more than Bill did, but I supported another Kickstarter by him, and then I supported from Magnetic Press Paris 2119, which came with a lot of goodies and a coin, and I didn't support their other one because I wanted to get one before they kicked off another one, and they have the European style hardcovers with the rounded edges, and it looks really cool as far as story. A very interesting read it should be. And then Harley's gonna go try to trick me again, roll in the grass, and then I'll let her in, and then there'll be grass on the carpet. And then Barb will say, "Who did this?" And it's really my fault because I'm an adult, and Harley doesn't know what she's doing. I tell Harley she's a good girl even when she's bad. Yeah, I got winded there. Hopefully it's not COVID, but I walked around a lot. I've been walking around a lot at the house. Today, I took Harley for a mile and a half walk. It was pretty nice. Even though it was 28, I wore a coat for 28, thinking, well, it's below freezing. But when the sun's out, it's really deceiving here because 28 could be, with no wind, it could feel like a 50. And I, sure enough, I took way too heavy a coat for 28. But it's deceiving because you could be like 36, and there could be a wind chill, and it feels like something really cold. And so you got to be careful. Like it's really hard to determine what kind of coat to wear. For me personally, like Barb would always wear the heavy coat, but I get hot during our walks and prefer to dress appropriately if I can. And then I got on the elliptical 'cause today is the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. I was supposed to be at work, but a lot of people were taking off, and I said, "Fuck it, man. I'm just exhausted and I need to recharge." And I don't think 3 days is going to give me enough to recharge my battery. But 'cause I've been running my battery into the dirt ground, but when I get back it's going to be really really busy because I took Wednesday off. But I'll work a 10, 12-hour shift on Monday and make up for it. So I don't even know where I was going. But have a few questions that I ask for, and I got quite a few on the Twitters. Martin Ferretti from Nerdy Legion, a great podcast you should check out, says, "Which Golden Age DC character do you wish would make a comeback, either in a solo book or as a prominent character in a team book?" And I'm gonna give you two answers because one of them is one that people probably don't talk about a lot, but when he shows up, it's really interesting. And I just read a Elseworlds with him in it. But I really would like to see a Golden Age Superman told in the 40s. Non-contemporary and just told in the past. A matter of fact, I'd like a universe where they're told like in that World War One, two era. The other character I think that would be really good for me personally that I'd like to explore is Ted Grant, Wildcat. I've always liked him. There's something about him just being a boxer and just being a badass. I think later on in life, I don't know if it was him or his son, but they gave him nine lives kind of power. But other than that, he was just a regular, just badass dude that got in costume and was a boxer. And I like that. He was like a Batman type. So yeah, I'd have fun with a lot of them. But I think a Golden Age Superman would set well with me. And Wildcat. And if I had to pick one, I think I'd go with the Golden Age Superman. And I read one. It was a Superman that took place. It was an Elseworlds. I can't remember the title of it, but it was a War of the Worlds kind of knockoff, like Superman War of the Worlds. And it took place in the 20s. And I was just fascinated with seeing like Superman in a time period when things were different. Technology was different, villains were different, and I liked it. And I kind of want to see that again. I don't know if anybody would be interested in listening or buying that, but I would be interested in seeing it for sure. So that was a good question, Martin. Nick, also from Nerdy Legion, they might have had the day off, so they're asking me questions. So, Nick's question is, since we are in a pandemic right now, your top three pandemic comics. That's a really hard question to ask because I'm a mood reader and I can't like just point to one title. I don't read like a normal person. But I will say that you said top three. I will say that Pulp was probably during the pandemic one of the best comic books I've read, and it's one of the best comic books I've read in my life. And that was Ed Brubaker and Phillips, and it came as a hardcover, and they're soliciting a soft cover, but it has to do with a writer that's sort of like writing about himself, because he used to be a bank robber, and he like crossed over that time period, and he was in the early 40s, but he was in the 1800, I mean 1918 and stuff like that, robbing banks, and he was sort of a pulp writer, and he gets caught up in a situation with some Nazis in America, and that story just sort of blew me away. And it's not really like a pandemic comic book, but it came out in the pandemic, so I could interpret your question two ways. The number of pandemic comics or the comic books that came out during a pandemic. And I'm going to talk about the comic books that came out in the pandemic. The other one I would go with, which I read almost in the same week or two, is Frog Catchers by Jeff Lemire. And I think that one was a Random House publication. And God, that was good. That was about a dying man remembering his past as he's passing away in the hospital. And it could be pandemic related, but it just touched me in ways that I got real emotional with both those comics. Both of those comics, I was crying. And if I cry during a comic book, I know it's fucking damn good. So, like, I got really emotional. It hit certain areas of emotion. And then I would just say Savage Dragon has been a good pandemic comic book to get my mind off of the pandemic. Even though he's poking the bear, and he's poking politics, and he's poking the pandemic, and he's poking Eric Larson. I relate to on a political level. I relate to what he's definitely anti-Trump, and I'm very anti-Trump. I can't believe people like this man. I just can't. He's just vulgar. He's doesn't have any kind of sympathy or empathy for any kind of person. It's all about him, and nothing else matters. And I don't want a president like that, and neither does Eric Larson. But I would say that Savage Dragon adds humor and action and just fun to escape, in my opinion. And it's been enlightening for me to read it, especially during the pandemic, and want to get more. Like I'm already at capacity. I'm about to. I found a Savage Dragon wiki, and I'm working on. Like I have all the Savage Dragon proper. I have like his appearances that happened in Spawn and Supreme and New Force and Evangeline and Prophet, I have those, but I'm missing some of them, like the Noble Causes and the Dynamo Fives and Wildstar. So and Sharky, there's a couple I still need to get, Love Bunny and Mr. Hell. So yeah, I'm looking for these things, and I will get them. They're kind of in my want list. And then I've been looking at non-Image publications that he's been in, and even the trades. So I'm just a fan. I am a Eric Larson fan, and it makes me forget a lot of stuff. So yeah, I'd say Savage Dragon, but there's probably something else I could point to. So Pulp, Frog Catchers, and Savage Dragon—they're sort of lighting my fire. There's probably a lot of others that I missed that are up there, but those are the things that come like you ask me on the spot. That's what I'm going to tell you without preparing. Go back to the questions. What X-Men characters should make a comeback? I think they're all making a comeback. So that's how I'm going to answer it. With the Krakoa series, the dead have become alive again. They've died again and then come back again. And so they're all sort of making a comeback. I don't know really how to answer that, but I like Nightcrawler a lot, and he's been around. I think he's in the Excalibur book now. And Cable, but I would like a non-de-aged Cable. I would like an old Cable. And that's what I would like a comeback for. I'd like for them to age him again and make him the Cable that he was before, because that's how I like Cable. And I've just recently become a Cable fan, like a fanatic on that too. Not a fanatic, but a fanatic of wanting to read a lot of Cable. Deadpool too, but I don't think he needs a comeback. Deadpool's never went away. Those are two things that I'm really into right now, Cable and Deadpool. And I can't explain it. Could be the pandemic, especially in the Deadpool scenario, because it is more of a light-hearted fare of a book. I don't know what it is. I used to hate books like Deadpool and Gwenpool, and now I find them really interesting, and I'm glad for that. So that my answer is Cable. Nick also says, I understand you are not adopting a character for 2021. Last year it was Silver Surfer and Tarzan. Silver Surfer wise, I did pretty good. I hit about 80 books. That's pretty good for an adopt a character. Tarzan, I only read 5, which was pathetic. And he says, if you were gonna do, which two characters from the big two would you be favoring right now? None from the big two. I think I'd go for Image. I'd want to read more Spawn and Savage Dragon. That's where I'm at right now, mood wise. I don't know, DC. If I had to pick one DC, one Marvel. If I wanted to, I'd probably get Luke Cage, because I'm really enjoying the C Luke Cage series on Netflix. Yeah, I'm late to the party, but I just finished Evil, which was the most amazing show on TV. And it had Luke, the actor that plays Michael Coulter, I think is his name. He appeared in Evil, and it kind of just led me down the rabbit hole. It says, ah, it's time to see more of this actor, and he was in Luke Cage, so I'll watch Luke Cage. But I think Luke Cage would be a good character to adapt for me if I had a choice from the Marvel side. And from the DC side, I think I would want to tap into the Golden Age Superman omnibuses that came out, and just read some of those. But I decided not to do an adopt a character because I don't like to be forced to do projects, especially in entertainment. I like to be in the mood for whatever. And I started off the year with Silver Surfer, like, I did really good. I made really good progress. And there's a spreadsheet out there somewhere on the, what was it, the Collected Comics Library. That was tracking that, and I was tracking it pretty good, and I sort of dropped off on tracking it. And I thought it was good because I would write down in there like a quantity, and then I would write down everything that I was writing, like Silver Surfer Volume 1, Silver Surfer Volume 4, because I almost got through the Dan Slott run on the first volume that he did. I read his first appearance in Fantastic Four. Yeah, I read a couple of things. Defenders, where he was in, and I did fairly good. But then I was like, I won't stick my guns. I just won't. I have a better chance of like tackling an omnibus or an epic collection, and going that route. Like, I wanted to do Tarzan, but I ended up doing more Conan than I did Tarzan. So, yeah, we'll see. The next question, your top three New Mutant team members. Magic is number one. I'd go Boom Boom from the Rob Liefeld years. I like her a lot. And then probably Dainey Moonstar. Those are the characters that sort of I liked. There's a lot that I like, but I tend to like the New Mutants more when Liefeld took over, and that's sacrilegious, but 'cause you had Claremont and Louise Simonson before that, and I liked them. Sinkovich was a little too extreme for me at the time. While I liked him on Moon Knight, I didn't like him in like the Demon Bear and stuff. It was just, it still looks weird to me. Some arts click with you, like some people don't like Kirby art, and I like love it. But yeah, I don't relate to a lot of the characters that were early on in the series, even though I own most of it. It's a series I'm trying to complete, by the way, but I was much more into it when Cable came on, to tell you the truth. And then there was only like Cannonball, Boom Boom, Richter, I think Sunspot maybe was in it, but I don't remember him being a big part of it. Wolfsbane, I do like Wolfsbane a lot. At that time, she was dating Richter, but I'd still have to go with Dainey. She was a Valkyrie, and I never understood her powers very well, but I've always enjoyed her quite a bit when she was written. And Magic, I love. Like, I like to read everything that Magic is in. Nick also asked, do you dream yourself into the last comic you were reading right before? I wish. My dreams are not affected by what I read last or what I watched last, with the exception of Evil. Evil was so scary that it left a impression on me that I would dream that I was in that world, and it became so real. And my mind would work about it, and then I'd wake up and then say, okay, I woke up now. I'm gonna go back to bed. And then I'd get back in and I'd start the dream over again, and it'd start back where I left off. And I can't even get that to happen. Like, when you're having a good dream, you can never go back into it and get it back to where it was when you wake up. But when I had that Evil, it was making an impression. I had to stop watching Evil before bed, and just watch it in the morning when I was doing the elliptical. But no, I don't dream about the comic books. My mind, unfortunately, solves problems at work. I wish I could charge that time, but I can't. I'll be in bed, and my mind will it tries to solve problems, work related, and it's hard for me not to have a dream that is not work related, unfortunately. Let's see, I have one or two more questions. So Jason from Hawaii asks, he asked these questions of comics in front of Prophet, and now he's going to ask me. And If you had your own Comic-Con with $500,000 budget, what would you call it? I would call it Geek Brunch. And what writers and artists would you invite? I would invite any of them. I'd invite my friends. Some of them are writers and artists. Like I'd have like Tom Scioli there. Drew Moss, Robert Atkins, Bob Franz, can't think of his name. Oh, well, how could I miss Andrew Peepoy? Andrew Peepoy would be at the top of the list. One of my favorite. So I my mind would be more personable, not to get people to go. I just want my friends to go, and then I would have each one of my friends, my geek friends, pick five creators they want. So like I would have, you already saw sort of my list. Shannon Gallant, he's the other one I would love to invite. Those would be my creators I'd invited. Not the creators that have the big lines or whatever, but the creators that I could sit and talk to and chat with and have fun with and shoot the bull with. Those are the ones that I want to talk to. Sean Pryor, throw him on there. Dave Dwanch, those are the creators I want to talk to. Super Ugly, yeah, get them at my con and then give them tables. I could care less about the big names. I love reading their comics and stuff, but I'd rather sit there and talk to Shannon Gallant about the $6 million woman or Erin Gray and Buck Rogers or whatever, and Andrew Peepoy about 80s music, and that's what I would want. And then I would take every one of my closest friends, especially my podcasting friends, and say, "You pick five creators." And they would go there. And then every one of my closest buddies would have five creators that they want to be with or hang out with. And it would be exclusive only to my friends. Like it would just be like one big party of eating, drinking, and talking and getting commissions and stuff. And that's all it would be. There wouldn't be any like long lines. It would be my small group of friends of, I don't know, 20, 25. And it would be like a hotel con with just a more personable experience, probably in a big city, so we could go out to eat and explore a lot of restaurants and fully fund all of the creators and people that I want to get there and fly there and just chat and talk art and talk comics and talk food, and yeah, that's what I would do. I didn't care less about the rest of it. And I'd call it the Geek Brunch Con. On the media guest, who would you invite? I think our a media guest, like a TV. If I had to pick, I'd invite Erin Gray. I've met her twice already, but I love that woman. Erin Gray would be there. If I could get Marissa Tomei, she'd be there. God, I'm blanking on some of them. Why am I blanking on Black Widow? She'd be on the list. Why can't I think of her name? It's killing me. I forget. Olsen, the one that plays Scarlet Witch, she'd be on my list. Gil Gerard, throw him on there. So, why can't I think of her name? Well, Ashley Judd would definitely be invited. Scarlett Johansson. All my crushes would be there. Harrison Ford. Yeah, I guess I have a crush on Harrison Ford. Harrison Ford and Gil Gerard. I'm not that close to Star Trek, but if I had to go with the original cast, it'd be William Shatner, 'cause that guy is a riot. I've listened to him at cons, and he's talking about the sperm that he saved from his dog to recreate another dog. I just think he is fun to listen to. Yeah, those would be some of my media guests. Very selfish, very centered convention around Geek Brunch. And then I'm sure Bill would invite a lot of artists and creators that I don't even know because he tends to like a lot more obscure things than I do. So yeah, that would be pretty cool. Last question is from Dennis Chandler, which is the host of the Best of the Rest, one of the hosts along with Jay Loving. He says, is there a publisher or universe that you know about but don't have a single comic from? Woof. A publisher that I don't have a single comic. 5 years ago, I would have been able to list a lot of them, but now it's getting harder to list that I don't have anything from. Could have been Kimiko, but now I've got a bunch of Kimiko stuff. But I can't think of a publisher I don't have anything from that isn't really obscure. Yeah, man. Let me see if I could go through my database and just pick the letter T or something and find a. I've got Dagger Comics, I've got CrossGen, I've got Malibu, I've got Ultraverse, I've got 2000 AD, I got Eclipse, I've got First, I got Kimiko, I got Red 5. I mean, God, there's just a lot of. If I can. Look at something interesting that I might not have. I have Paper Cuts. Yeah, there's a lot of publishers. I have Avatar stuff. I have Boundless. I can't. I've got Archaea stuff. I've got Boom. I've got Image. Seaboard Comics. Maybe that's something I would need to get. No, that's from Atlas. Atlas published Seaboard, so I have Atlas Comics. Standard Comics. Okay, there's maybe a publisher I don't have. They were in the 40s. I don't think I have anything from them. But Thrilling Comics was published by them. They were absorbed by DC, so by default, I kind of do have them. And then I could even say like about a bunch of underground comics, but I picked up a bunch of underground comics recently too. So AC was a publisher I could point to until recently, and then I went on a Femme Force kick and got Bolt and a lot of their side publishing. Eric Larson led me down that rabbit hole. I've got Fawcett. Man, I can't. Caliber. I might not have any Caliber comics. And they're still in previews. They're doing reprints of a lot of stuff. No, 'cause I have that Dead World. I think Dead World was Caliber. So, at least I have parts of Dead World. Man, I. That's a tough question. I have Pacific Comics. I got Harvey Comics. I don't have a lot of Harvey Comics. Rebellion, I have. Humanoids, I have. That's a European. Spire was the original publisher. I have comics from them. Dover Press, I have stuff from them. Lion Forge, yep, I have them. Action Lab, I kind of get a lot of comics. I can't think of. Oh, Verotic, the Glenn Danzig, I can't even say that anymore. I didn't used to have any of his stuff. And then recently, I picked up a couple issues of. What was that one that he did from Frank Frazetta book, and I can't remember what it was, but I picked up 4 issues of that. I picked up Verotic Illustrated. I do Dynamite, IDW. I mean, you can maybe throw Caliber. I didn't have a lot of Kitchen Sink, but I got them too. Recently, I picked up quite a few of those. Dark Horse, of course. Fantagraphics, I have. The Thunder Agents publication, whatever they were, I have that. Yeah, man, I just. You got me. And that's just going through the letter T on my database. Like just trying to. Tomorrow's I get. Oh, there's a publication called Atlantis I don't have. Okay, we'll go with Atlantis Comics from 2005. I found something. I don't know how much publications they had, but they had a couple. They had Thunderbird, Wild Orchid, Tin Man, The Talisman, Return of Exile, Super Jesus, and Paula Pearl, Peril, and The Crystal War, and Adventures of Kelly Bell. So yes, there's. I found one. Just going through the letter T. And yeah, that's I think Barb's texting me saying, "Hey, I'm leaving, so I'll probably not get to finish the back end, hat pack of the podcast until later." But I at least got part of it recorded, and I'll just save this as part one. I'll be back with the weekly reads. I want to thank Dennis, Jason, Nick, and Martin. You came through, gave me some questions to talk about, and yeah. All right. I'll be back with the weekly reads, and we'll talk to you soon. So let's mic check. I'm back. All right. That was weird. I was having some technical difficulties, but now I am back. And I'm going to quickly go over 3 weeks worth of books and not n just hitting on some highlights and then going on to the another episode. So I'm going to cover from September 21st through to September 27th. There are a total of 24 books. Two Source Point Press, one Scout, six Marvel, one Keen Spot, one Image, and 13 DC. There were no 3 out of 5s. There were a bunch of 4 out of 5s and a couple of 5 out of 5s. So for the 4 out of 5s, I sort of caught up on Justice League, which was 42 through 53. And it had the Eradicate. This was like when Snyder left the book Eradicator conclusion. It had a Spectre that was separated from Corrigan. There was a alien race that the Justice League had to decide on how to help in some cases or make things worse in other cases. And then there was a Black Mercy two-parter, and finally a Death Metal tie-in. But it's been like a bunch of stories and not a lot of like growth as a series, but a bunch of individual stories. But I did like some of the earlier stuff that the Hawkman writer did. Why can I not think of his name? I want to say Van Lente, but it's not Van Lente. He only did like 4 issue arc, I think. Let me see. I could just go look up Hawkman. He was the latest Hawkman writer. And I can't believe my brain just won't register his name. But it was Venditti, Van Lente, Venditti, Van Lente. I at least had a V right. Van Lente's writing Dynamite, which is their Marvel Zombies book on crossover. But yeah, that was that. And then there was Bug Bites, which is about two little kids that become friends and get sucked into a world of bugs. That one's real colorful. The art's real cool. It's an all ages book. I enjoyed it quite a bit. I forgot to order number 2, but I have number 3. It's one of those things that I probably will never get a number 2. The print runs are so low, it'll be really hard to track down. And then New Mutants 86 through 88, which was definitely the Liefeld years working on reading all that run that leading up to X-Force. Fantastic Four Antithesis. This was the Mark Waid, Neil Adams. And this was really good. I think, well, you have to like Neil Adams' art, current Neil Adams' art. It's very different from when he was doing like Green Lantern, Green Arrow. But if you've been following him, he's been writing a lot of stuff, and it's like crazy shit. I still find it entertaining, but it's still crazy. And I think Mark Waid sort of grounded him and made a title that people could understand as well as enjoy the art. So Antithesis was it involves Galactus, it involves the Silver Surfer, it has all kinds of action-packed. Annihilus opens up attacking the Fantastic Four at a construction site. It's just a fun book. Broken Gargoyles is like a steampunk punk book from Source Point Press. It was pretty entertaining. I gotta read the. I think I have number 2 and 3. I need to still read. Cable 1 and 2. I think this was the mini series that came out after Liefeld left with the John Romita art, and that was really good. That introduced his team with Grizzly and Domino and what were they called? Kane. There were several members. A lot of them had action figures like right off the bat, and like Liefeld did create a couple of them, and then some of them were created by others. Like, I don't think Liefeld ever drew Grizzly initially. I think that might be a John Romita creation. Although Liefeld might have been consulting on the book, like, it was like right near the end of his when he was leaving for Image. Batman Three Jokers, I read number one. I'll be covering that one more in detail in DC Spotlight. It involves three different Jokers and Batman dealing with them, as well as Batgirl and Red Hood, who have been traumatized by Jokers. Jason was killed by one, and Barbara was crippled by one. So, yeah, it's a very interesting story by Geoff Johns and Fabok drawing it. Atlantis wasn't built for tourists. I like this one a lot. This one, it's like you don't want to give it away, but it starts off with like a hitchhiker. He's just hiking. He's just hitchhiking the world to see his father, to go meet his father, and you don't know why he's going to meet his father. But there's a female drunk driver that's leaving the town of Atlantis and sort of almost hits him, and he saves her. And then the cop comes and he invites him to stay over at the police facility at least overnight, and then said you could be on your way. They want him out of the town as soon as possible. And it's just like a mystery behind it. And at night, when the sun goes down, all shit breaks loose at that jail. And you learn about what's going on in this town and what's going to happen. It's a horror series, but it's action-packed at the same time. And you learn a lot about the hitchhiker and future issues because I got caught up today on issues 2 and 3. It was really good. Ninjas and Robots was a 5 out of 5. This one was a 5 out of 5. Because of the art, I couldn't take my eyes off of it. It's from Keenspot Entertainment, and I just thought it was amazing. I gotta track down number 2 because I didn't order it. Number 3 should be on its way. 5 out of 5, Bomb Queen, Trump card. This one will be more entertaining to you if you're not a fan of Trump, but if you're a Trump fan, it's interesting. Because Bomb Queen is running against Trump, and she's just as vile as Trump is, so you can compare them. So we'll see who wins that election. And it is really funny because she's running with a superhero, so she's a villain in the Image universe, and she's even taken over a whole city before, and now she's back. And she's running as the pre running for president with a superhero as her vice president. He's the one that convinces her to do it, and she does it reluctantly, but then she jumps all in. And the idea was that when they won, that she would quit and he would become president. But I think the things have shifted. And in this run, they're talking about, the current election, although I think it's like running in 2024, so it's like even farther ahead. But it's interesting, and it's funny. At least if you're on an anti-Trumper, you might find it offensive if you're a Trumper. But maybe not, because it's hard to explain. But we have from September 28th through October 4th a total of 24 comics, all Marvel and DC. There were 17 Marvel and 7 DC. I started reading on the app because I was waking up in the middle of the night. A lot of their digital firsts. There was an Aquaman deep dives that f was these ones kind of like sit out of continuity and are done in one story. So if you like that kind of thing, you might jump in. It was Aquaman versus Black Manta. There was The Flash, the fastest man alive. Batman Gotham Knights, where he took on Clayface. Superman, Man of Tomorrow, standalone, where he took on the Parasite. And then more, I read more New Mutants 89 through 90, where Cable's now the leader of the group. And Agent X, I read 1 through 15. And that was when I became hooked on Deadpool. This was a Gail Simone run that continued after her Deadpool run and became Agent X, and I bought it all and I read it all and I thought it was amazing. And then I bought all of Soldier X, but I haven't decided, I haven't read that yet. And then there's how the 5 out of 5s were House of Mystery 201 to 202 and 209, which is a horror anthology. I was trying to read those for DC Everything Else Halloween special. And I had a goal of trying to read the entire omnibus, but that's I only read a handful of stories in there. That takes us to the last week, which is October 5th through October 11th of 2020. Total of 17 comics. Two Marvel, one IDW, one Dynamite, six DC, one Caliber, one Bowtie Press. Two Behemoth, although I didn't write that. It's like Hot Miami. I forgot to. Let me see if how many titles have Hot in it. Hot It's like my Miami Nights. Let me type Miami and see if it comes up. My, how many titles can have Miami in it? Miami Vice. Oh, that's quite a CSI Miami. Hotline Miami Wildlife. I forgot to write that one down. So I'll just put that one after, probably after Baboon Hotline Miami. This is based on a game, believe it or not. And I'll talk a little bit about it. Wildlife. So. Wildlife number one. So those were the Behemoth and then three AWAs, starting with the 3 out of 5s. In the vein of like something like 100 Bullets, we had Old Haunts number one. I just didn't, it, while I was entertained, a 3 out of 5 means I enjoyed it, but on the lower end of enjoyment. I thought it was the weakest number one of the AWAs to date. We'll see how that matures because I haven't read number two yet. The next one was from Bowtie Press. It was the last gener, no, it was from Caliber, the last generation. The last generation is a post-apocalyptic adventure that has like religious connotations with anthropomorphic characters. One of them looks like a giant bear, one is like a giant wolf, and it looks like they're all going to unite to fight this same common villain. Out of the 4 out of 5s, we have Transformers Back to the Future. What a weird combination. And I just picked this one off the shelf at the comic shop. I didn't order it from DCBS. I don't have any future ones coming, at least I don't think I do. I would be interested in finishing it just to see what goes on, but they Marty ends up going to a futuristic part where Biff is like in charge and he has to team up with the Transformers, the good Transformers, whereas Biff is with the Decepticons, and they've kind of enslaved humanity. So it's the first appearance of the DeLorean Transformer, and I can't remember what his name is, but there's actually a toy for it. We then get into Hotline Miami Wildlife. This is from Behemoth. I read two Behemoth titles. I was very impressed with them. I did some research. Behemoth came from Amigo, and I've enjoyed Amigo comics a lot. So it seems like they have acquired Amigo, and they were already around before Amigo, so now they're a bigger This is a weird video game though. I like did a little research on it. It was one of those games that was a computer game back in the day, where you were. This one is like 100 bullets more so than the other one. There's this drug addict guy who gets contact, and he's got money. He's pretty well to do, kind of like a spoiled kid that hears from this organization that he supports, and they hand him a briefcase with the gun in it and a costume, and they say you need to go do these things, and he goes, and you just gonna kill people with the gun and stuff. And this was based on a video game, and an older video game, probably around the time that early PC games were going on. But it's an interesting thing. Like, Behemoth's doing some weird stuff. Like, they licensed another, The Girl Who Walks. I can't remember what the name of it is. I have it coming, but it's actually based on a movie that was in 2011 or something to that effect. So they're tackling older properties instead of having the comic come out first and then it become a movie. It's like the opposite. We have Baboon and Pink Lemonade. Pink Lemonade had a Kickstarter and came out from It's Alive, and Baboon comes from Bowtie Press. I bought this mostly not for Pink Lemonade, but for Baboon because I really like this artist. He's on Twitter. I follow him, and I bought some sketches from him. He's an amazing artist, and he let me see what if I could find it. His name. Pink. He's not the creator of Pink Lemonade, but he's definitely Jamie Jones is the that's weird. It shows up twice in my database. The one I entered in and one I know I have this, but glad I went through it to find it. There's a hardcover he did and I haven't read it yet. But he has this style of art that I really dig, and he was doing like, matter of fact, I'm gonna go see if he has any. I haven't been checking his posts lately. It seems like he stopped posting for a while. Jamie Jones. The art of Jamie Jones. I think this is him. Yeah, he hasn't posted many art pieces. He had some for sale, but his rates had gone up significantly. And oh, he has a cover on Ninjas and Robots. But he had some pieces of art for sale, and they just like $300. Art has really gone expensive, commissions and stuff. So I got these smaller commissions that I liked quite a bit, and before he started charging more, but I think mine were they were like on little sketch cards, but they were like 30 each, and now if you want the big 11 by 17, they're like $300. And but he does them in color, which is more amazing. Well, this was $200 Catwoman. He did an ambush bug that's amazing. He didn't have a price on that. The Howard the Duck. But yeah, I really like his art. So that was a 4 out of 5. Harley Quinn, Black, White, and Red. This is a new series, also on the DC app, digital first. It doesn't have a print. Superman, Man of Tomorrow, number 2, where he fought the Gambler. That was a done in one. Madame Xanadu, 1 through 4. We covered that on DC Spotlight. This is like Madame Xanadu through the ages because she's sort of immortal. She starts off in King Arthur's realm. And it shows her relationship with Merlin, and then it takes you to Marco Polo and all kinds of different eras, Genghis Khan, I think it wasn't Genghis Khan though, it was a different Khan. But yeah, it's really interesting, the art. It's by Matt, the guy who does Grendel. I can't remember his name either. God, my names are just getting my the white dots in my brain are just getting bad. New Mutants number 91. This was what Caliban and Sabretooth were fighting underneath the mansion. They're sort of like living in the ruins of the mansion right now because it was destroyed, and that's where Cable is kind of bringing the New Mutants together. But Richter sort of leaves the team, and they have to go search for him in the sewers, and that's where they run into Caliban and Sabretooth. Big Girls number one, Image. This is like kaiju versus big giant women. It's like the females that get infected with this virus, they just become giant women. The males, they become these huge monsters, ugly looking, blobular, chemically. It looks like cysts are all over them. Like they don't look like symmetrical. They're just they look like cancerous blobs. It's really cool. Really cool story. I've read up through four so far, but this was number one, a 4 out of 5. Mars Attacks, Red Sonja, highly recommended. This one's fun. The Martians invade Red Sonja's area and destroy a whole land and take over it. And one of the princesses of that land, when her father's dies, is trying to learn from Red Sonja how to become a warrior and fight against these Martians. And the meanwhile, the Martians are trying to clone Red Sonja, and you see what happens later in future issues. Deadpool number 6. This is the current series. Kelly Thompson is writing, and it has to do with him being the king of the monsters. Like all the monsters that would, I guess, normally be controlled by the Mole Man are now controlled by Deadpool. And it stars Blood. What is her name? Blood. It's the gem, but I can't think of her name. Blood. I gotta start taking notes again. I'm never gonna find it. Bloodstone. What the hell? Alisa Bloodstone. She's the daughter of the original Bloodstone, who showed up in Marvel Spotlight or Marvel Premiere, one of those books. And she's a monster hunter. And the story involves her and Deadpool. I really like it. They really play off well on each other, and Kelly Thompson does a really good job. The 5 out of 5s go to Bad Mother, Hotel, which is a horror, which I just finished up, and William Blake, The Marriage of Heaven and Hell, which is like a Quentin Tarantino makeover of the William Blake play. And I have never read William Blake too, but I love Quentin Tarantino, and that's what sold me on this. This was like almost like a miniature trade, but those were 5 out of 5s, and that wraps up this week's books. We covered 3 weeks. Hopefully next time I'll cover another 3 weeks, and eventually I'll catch up. So thank you for listening. And you can reach me at mike@comicbooknoise.com. That's my email, at Mike Myers Brunch. And you can find me at geekbrunchpodcast.com or dcnoisepodcast.com. And we'll talk to you again in probably 2 weeks. So we'll talk to you later. Bye.